Blog Talk Radio.
About belief. Do you believe?
Okay, because when I was reading in the scriptures, the disciples had been with Messiah for 3 years and still walked in unbelief. So then we have to look at and see, well, why were they with him 3 years and still walking in unbelief? This is something that I think that believers or, yeah, I'm going to say it that way, believers or kind of believers, because we're going to talk about different types of belief, not faith, not religion, but different type of faith and belief, and faith and belief are one and the same, in case, you know, we're wondering. Faith and belief are one in the same. And so there are different levels and different kinds of belief. And so I want to talk about those today and then ask you to take an assessment of yourself. Do you really believe? Do you now believe? Because it is intended that some don't believe, some don't understand. And it is given that they will not understand until they receive the Holy Spirit. And so we want to talk about those things on this morning so that we can see the different categories of people that are in the world, in the body, or trying to get into the body, that are trying to get into the body. As I was looking at this, it's like the more truth people have, the more they should believe. What they believe that I'm finding is the issue, and what they are unable to believe. So a lot of faith out there is dead. A lot of belief is dead. A lot of it is in vain. We say stuff with our mouth, but then our words don't back it up. Okay, so we're going to look at all those things on this morning. The Most High put this on my heart to be and do this because people are just running to and fro, doing what they want to do, but they're not really believing the scripture as it is written. And give me a hot second here. Let's see. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and get started on this morning. I pray that, as I said, everybody got prescribed sleep last night, and that that no one is tired, worn out. I hope you have your pen and your paper with you as we go through the scriptures on this morning. I know that people believe certain things, and when those beliefs are challenged, you know, start having earthquakes in diverse places, and that's okay. The thing is that we come to the place where we are willing to accept truth, even if it's contrary to what we believe. So we're going to go ahead and start with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you, Yah, and we lift you up and we magnify your name. We adore thee on this morning, O Yah Elohim. We adore thee. Hallelujah. 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 And we just welcome you here, O Yah, this morning, and to be at your feet and to learn, hallelujah, your word, Father. Teach us this morning, hallelujah, for we desire, we are hungry for your word. We are thirsty for it. And we need it, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy, for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that we should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. So, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you. And Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we would ask that you would turn your eyes and your ears back toward your people Israel, Father. For our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Now, Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, obey, and come and keep your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8. Our constant reminder. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. We're starting in verse 46, and I am personalizing this on this morning. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and our cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, that thou, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us and all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing. whether it be good or whether it be evil. Please, I'm Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And let us drop down to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen.
Thank you. I wanna be close to you. I leave my hands in prayer. Somebody lift those hands. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times. I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. My testimony in all that I go through. Somebody said why. I said because praise is what I do.
Somebody lift up your voice in this place. Oh.
do it. Somebody do it.
Shalom, which means peace. A selection of songs you're about to hear. A song in the ancient tongue of Hebrew. Lashawan Kodash, which means the holy tongue. For our forefathers told us in their writings that the things uttered in Hebrew and translated into another tongue have not the same force in them. And not only these things, but the law itself and the prophets and the rest of the books have no small difference when they are spoken in their own language. Quam lama al yasha'ala, which means to rise, O Israel, and prepare to hear the words of the Most High sung in the ancient tongue of Hebrew. This is the tongue of the children of Israel. And when you search throughout the scriptures, all the original texts were written in the language of Hebrew and describe our forefathers and the children of Israel. As it says in the Songs of Solomon, Ani Shakur, I am black. And it also says in the book of Revelation, as it describes our Lord and Savior, who is called Jesus Christ, but whose Hebrew name is Yahawashah, because he is deliverer to help us in these last days to return back to who we are, the children of Israel. So as you prepare your spirit to partake of the holy tongue of our forefathers, open your heart, your mind, and your soul, and receive these words in the ancient tongue of our forefathers, the tongue Lashawan Kodash, the holy tongue in the language of Hebrew. Shema, which means to listen. Shalom.
Wasalap now.
Okay. One screen there. Three. And, okay, let me see if the people who are on the phone are able to hear. Give me 1 second. Okay, we're going to go ahead and proceed, and I'll wait for their response. Might have to change something. Okay. Precept for this morning is, do you believe? And as, you know, the Most High was dealing with me on this morning, it was between do you believe and the promises of Yah. And the more that, you know, I meditated on it, the more he brought me back to do you believe? And this is a question to every saint out there on this morning, because we want to look at, Messiah asked this question. So I want everybody to go to the book of John, the book of John, chapter 16. And we're going to get verse 31. And in this chapter, we'll come back to it a little bit later, Messiah is telling his disciples something. And at the end, he speaks to them, speaks what he's talking about clearly. Because before, we're going to find out that Messiah actually spoke to the disciples a lot of time in Proverbs, in sayings. And they couldn't really understand totally what he was saying. And so it caused them to walk a lot of times in unbelief, because he wasn't speaking plainly to them either. And so in John chapter 16, verse 31, after he has told them plainly what he's talking about leaving and coming back, he asked them, you know, they said, now we believe because you have spoken plainly to us. He says, and Yeshua answered him and said, do you now believe? And he's asking them a question in a way that it's like do you now believe? Not do you now believe, but the context is, do you now believe, since I spoke to you plainly, since you understand this, now you believe? Okay, so we want to look at this in that context, because as we go through the scriptures, we find that even today, a lot of people hear the scriptures, and because of how they're written, they either cannot understand or they can't understand fully, and it affects their belief. So I want to talk about these different kinds of beliefs that people have and that are testified to in the scriptures. Okay, and then each of us have to ask ourselves, what type of faith or belief do we have in the Most High? So let us get this word belief from the Greek. We're talking about it in this scripture in John chapter 16, verse 31. That word is pistio. Pistio. P-I-S-T-Y-O-O. That's what that word is. And it means to have faith. He says, so when Messiah is talking to him, he says, do you now have faith? Do you believe? Part of another of that definition is upon or with respect to a person or a thing. Do you now have faith or believe what I'm telling you, is what Messiah is asking. So we want to look at it from that standpoint. Do you now have faith or belief or respect of what Messiah is saying to us? What type of belief do you have? So that's the definition we're going to go from. That's what it means in the scriptures, to put your trust in, to commit to. Do you believe? Do you have faith? He says, now do you have faith? Now do you believe what I tell you? What I'm saying to you, because they didn't. Until he explained stuff clearly to them in this instance, and then I'm going to show in the scriptures when you get stuff clearly, and then you have a choice of believing it or not. Messiah spoke to the masses in parables, not clear to be understood. So we read this in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to go there and get this. Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 15. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 9 through 15. And we go over this as part of our foundations of discipleship, but we're going to use it this morning to show that Messiah spoke to the masses in one way. He spoke to the disciples in another way. And then it's not until the receiving of the Holy Spirit that the truth is spoken clearly. And so I guess the point of the matter is you cannot understand the scriptures until you receive the Holy Spirit. You cannot understand them fully or clearly until you receive the Spirit of truth. So we're going to look at this, because this is the way it was given. Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 15. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. Everybody's got ears, or just about everybody got ears. But can they hear? Can they understand? And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them, the masses, in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So we know from the very beginning that it's not given to the masses to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Not given to everyone. Okay? And so as part of our discipleship series, you know, we've read this before and we understand. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore, I speak to them. Therefore, to them I speak in parables. Because they seen, see not. In hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. So, people hear the gospel all the time. That don't mean that they understand it. People are taught the gospel all the time, the masses. That doesn't mean they understand it. That was in Messiah's day, and it still is today. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. So even when people see a miracle today, they don't understand that it's a miracle. Even the gift of tongues is a miracle. It's a sign. The gift of healing. Wisdom. People don't get it. They don't perceive what it is. And they don't see the workings of the Most High. Now. Because the scriptures are given to them in parables. They're given to everybody in parables. But then the Most High has to give you understanding. For this, and now why does he not let everybody understand? Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. That means that their heart is not right before the Most High. They're not really interested in the truth. They're not really after him. Their heart's not right with him, and their ears are dull of hearing. That means that they're not trying to hear. They got a preconceived notion of what they want to hear. They got certain predisposed ideals and thoughts of the way things ought to be. And so they can't really hear the truth of the gospel. And their eyes, they have closed. You can't see if your eyes are closed. And he's really talking about them having their spiritual eyes closed. Not able to actually see what's really going on. Least at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, in their heart, in the part of you that you act from, that you take action from. And that's what we're going to be talking about on today, because what you believe is what you will take action on. If Brother Miles said, hey, your house is on fire, if you believed and had faith saying, you would get up and go look to make sure. He said, my house is on fire, let me go check. But if you think I'm chiding with you, or you don't believe what I'm saying, you're going to be like, yeah, right. You ain't here. You don't know if my house is on fire or not. So you're going to act out of what you believe, okay? And so Messiah wants people to understand with their heart, because it's out of the heart that flows the abundance of what you believe. It's out of the heart that you act out of. That's why he says, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him unclean. It's what comes out of his heart spiritually. What's in his heart? What's in your mind? What do you really believe? And should be converted. And I should heal them. So this is what he's talking about. The masses aren't really concerned about what Messiah was really talking about. And even today, they're not really concerned about what Messiah is talking about. Even for those that are so-called in the church, because a lot of people are going to church robotically. A lot of people are going attending because they are, it's something to do. Okay, and a lot of people are attending because they want to be right, but then they're not willing to go all the way. So they're serving him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And so this is what he's talking about. They can't be converted because they're not willing to give him their all. They're not willing to serve him with their whole heart. They're not willing to make him number one. And that's what it takes to be converted and to be healed. That's why he said anytime he was going to lay hands on somebody and heal them, he says, do you believe? Do you believe that I am who I say that I am? Do you believe that the Most High is able to heal you? Because if they walked in unbelief, they couldn't be healed. So your belief matters a lot. Messiah spoke to the disciples in Proverbs, in types of Proverbs. Let's go to John chapter 16, the book of John chapter 16. And we're going to get verses 11 through 17 at this point. John chapter 16, verses 11 through 17. Because he didn't speak to the disciples in a clear manner either. Now, he would explain the parables to them. But still, there was things that he related to them that was in a proverb. And a lot of what he relayed to them was in Proverbs. John chapter 16, starting at 11, verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. I got things that I want to say to you disciples, but you can't hear them now. Why? Because your heart is not ready. I've chosen you, and you're still not ready. Even when I tell some of the parables, you don't understand it, so you come back and ask. And I explain it to you. But there are things about me that I say to you that you can't hear. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, and you want to underline the Spirit of Truth in your Bible. When he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The things that Messiah was telling them was truth, but he was speaking it to them in the form of a proverb. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? What is he talking about? A little while, and he shall, and you shall not see me. They don't understand. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. So they are not understanding it or questioning. Let's go to verse 18. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he said. Now, Yeshua knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of what of that I said? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Oh, they're asking amongst themselves, what is he talking about? They're not asking Messiah. But he knows that they're questioning him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 20, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, when she's about to have a baby and deliver, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of that she has the child, she remembers no more anguish. She don't remember all that pain she was in because she's had this child, and that part is over. for joy that a man is born into the world. And you know, therefore, and you now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And that's some, one of the things we want to talk about on today, a little bit later, because a lot of people don't ask the Father for stuff. They don't ask Messiah for stuff, not how they should ask. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Up to this point, Messiah is saying, from the beginning to now, have you asked nothing in my name? Then he says, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, by example, as little short stories. So, what is a proverb? Hold on just a minute. I pulled this up. Examples of proverbs. What did I do with it? I'll give you an example. Like we'll say, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. That's a proverb, okay? And it means that, hey, be satisfied with what you got already, because the one in the bush you don't have, but the one in your hand you got. Okay, so this is how he's speaking to them. They can kind of understand what it is that he's saying, and then they can kind of not understand as far as how he's presented this to them. So another example of a proverb, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. In other words, if you eat right, then you're not supposed to get sick, or you're not going to get sick. You'll keep the doctor away. That's a type of proverb. It's a saying that, you know, sort of teaches a meaning to something, okay? But it doesn't say directly that, hey, if by eating the apple, you're not going to get sick. It just says, hey, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Or it's better safe to be, it is better to be safe than sorry. Another type of proverb, actions speak louder than words. So this is how he was talking to them. But he wasn't telling them plainly what he was talking about. So when he's talking here, he's speaking to them in the form of a proverb. And so we got to understand that he's not speaking to them plainly, and they're not getting it. Okay. So he uses the proverb or the short story of the woman in labor. And it's still a proverb. And they're still not getting it. Okay? So he's telling them, I speak to you in proverbs. Okay? I've been speaking to you this whole time in proverbs, and you really have not been getting it. Let's continue. So verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. So it's going to be a time that I start to speak to you in plain Hebrew or plain English in a way that you're not going to have to guess or try to understand what it is that I'm saying. Now, because the scriptures are written in parables and written in proverbs, when you are reading the scriptures, if you do not have the Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit of truth, because this is what Messiah said, that he would send the spirit of truth. Let's get that verse again. So that we understand that this is what we have to have. Verse 13, John chapter 11, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. I'm telling you 99% of the things that I'm saying, I'm either saying it in a parable or I'm saying it in a proverb. But the Spirit of truth is going to tell you plainly. He's going to guide you into the truth. He's going to reveal all these things, bring it back into your remembrance to you, in your mind, in your teachers. He's going to explain it to you. The things that I said that were not clear to you. Okay, so we have an example in the scripture here that when he's talking about that he must go, in a little while they will see him, in a little while not, is an example there. But this way that Messiah spoke to people, the way that he taught people, was intentional, because let me get something here. Hold on a minute. Let me get this verse. Should have put this in here, but I didn't. Saying this. Let's go to John chapter 15. Let's go to John chapter 15. And let's get verse 16. John chapter 15 and then verse 16. And the word of the Most High reads on this. Now this is Messiah talking. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. In order for somebody to understand the scriptures, you must be chosen by Messiah to hear the truth, to receive the Ruach HaKodesh. Because remember, the scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. Messiah says, you have not chosen me. None of his disciples chose him. He chose them. It's still true today. There are many people who are going out to teach the scriptures, who are going out to pastor churches. Messiah has not chosen them. They chose him, but he hasn't chosen them. Because if he had chosen them, they would be teaching truth. And not just any kind of truth. Because you can teach facts, okay? Excuse me. You can teach facts. You can teach what the word says. Psalms 133 says this, verbatim. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're teaching the message that the scripture is teaching. You're quoting the scripture. But do you have understanding of the scripture? That's a difference there. So if I say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I have just quoted the scripture, and I can say that the scripture says this, but am I really understanding the verse? Am I understanding line upon line and precept upon precept? That's why we have 30,000 different Christian denominations, because the way that the scripture is written, not written for everybody to understand. Not even a lot of people who, not even his disciples understood. Messiah had to go back and what? Break it down for them. Let me explain the parable of the sower. They heard it. They're his disciples. They didn't understand. He broke it down and said, it's given to you to understand, so I'm going to explain it to you. But then there were certain things that was not even given to them to understand at that moment. He spoke it to them in proverbs, in forms of proverbs. And he says, now, I got to send back the spirit of truth to reveal these things to you, to guide you. And so we got to understand that. That without this, we can read the scriptures, but we're not going to really understand. And the more people that I talk to, and with this understanding, when I'm talking to them and I'm asking questions and we're discussing things, I understand that he hasn't given it to them to understand it. And they have a piece of understanding, a type of understanding, but not really truth. And the reason that they don't is because it really comes from a lack of the spirit. But we're going to get into this. Because the way Messiah taught, it was intentional. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand. Only those that he chose. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Only those that he chooses can understand it, can truly understand it. And will only those that are his that truly understand will do it. So the way he taught affects people's ability to believe. It affects their ability to believe what is in the scriptures. It also affects the level of their belief. The level of their belief. So let's talk about these different levels of belief. Okay? Because the scriptures tell us to examine ourselves. Examine yourselves. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Because I want everybody this morning to look inside, to retroflect. Look inside and examine yourself from this context, okay? From this context that we're talking about. Type of belief. What type of belief do you have? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, whether you believe, whether you be in the true belief, prove your own self. So you got to know the scriptures. You got to believe what is written. And you got to understand what is written. And so when you're reading the scriptures and you find yourself bewildered, you have, you know, a certain level of understanding, and that may be an all you need, and that's what keeps you. But then the Most High says that we got to know truth, so we should never be satisfied until we really know that we know what truth. And when we hear it, it just lines up. It doesn't leave a question. And so, prove your own self. Know ye not your own self. Had that how Yeshua HaMashiach is in you, except you be reprobate. Got to be filled by the spirit of Yeshua HaMashiach, which is the same spirit, one only spirit, the Holy Spirit. The spirit of truth. You got to be filled by that spirit, the Holy Spirit. So let's look at these different levels of belief, of faith, okay, that are described in the scripture. Examine ourselves, and we want to examine ourselves this morning. Do you now believe? A person is saved by grace. through faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. You're saved through your belief in Yeshua. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, through your belief, what you believe. If you don't believe that Messiah is, that Yeshua is the Messiah, you're not going to act upon that. If you don't believe what he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, you're not going to act upon that. You're not even going to learn what his commandments are, and you're going to say, oh, these are all his commandments right here. You're not going to believe that he is the God of the Bible because of how the scriptures are written. You're going to believe there's two or three. So you're not going to understand that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. You're not going to understand that the God of the Old Testament, the Elohim of the Old Testament, stepped into flesh and came into the world, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father. But he talks about he has a Father. You're not going to understand that he is his own Father because of the way that the scriptures are written. Because it is the Spirit of truth that has to reveal this to you. So you're going to hear it, but you're not going to be able to understand it. You're going to see what the scriptures say, but you're not going to be able to perceive what it's actually saying. My mind just can't wrap around that. Here he says he has a Father. But I just can't understand how he could be his own Father. That just don't compute to me. I don't understand how Mary could have a baby and get pregnant without a man. That's not natural. That's not how the law of nature, they'll read it, but they can't understand it. They can't perceive it. Can't accept it. So by grace are we saved through our belief, the level of our belief and the type of our belief. And that not of ourselves. Your faith and your belief and your salvation, all of that is a gift from the Most High. It's a gift from the Most High that he allows you to see. It's a gift from the Most High that he allows you to believe. It's a gift from the Most High that he allows you to understand. Remember, this is not given to them to understand. The Master. So it's a gift, even that you understand, and that you should appreciate this gift, and you should walk in it. Okay, so understand that we are saved by our belief, and you can't have, you got to do everything. If you truly believe, then you're going to believe everything that Messiah said. The Most High is going to give you clarity into who he is, and you're going to understand when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You understand that it's the same in the same being that's telling you, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's the same individual or being in the Old Testament that's my commandments. You're going to understand that. And it's not going to confuse you. You're just going to, by faith, you're going to believe it. You're not going to second guess it. Even when you read, my Father and I are one, you're going to understand what that verse means. Nobody's going to have to explain it to you. And when somebody does explain it to you, if they're telling the truth, if they're explaining it the right way in truth, then you understand and you get it. You know, what you're saying is true. It's right. But if you are walking in unbelief, or the Most High hasn't given you the gift of understanding, you won't understand it. You will understand it in a carnal way, in a natural way. And so it'll be hard to see that Messiah is both the Most High and the Son of the Most High. That'd be hard to see and understand. got to be given to you as a gift. Okay. Verse 8 again. For by grace, the gift of the Most High, not something that you earned, not something that, you can do on your own, are you saved through your belief and the type of belief that you have in Messiah. And that is not of yourself. It is a gift of Elohim. It's a gift from the Most High. So he's consistent all through this word. It's just how we read the scriptures. When we understand that understanding is not given to everyone. And the fact that you understand, trust that it's a gift. Because everybody don't receive this gift. Just like everybody didn't receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. It is a gift to those that are chosen. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to get verse through 11. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one another without grudging. For as every man has received the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the gift of salvation, the gift of understanding, to be able to understand his gospel, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace, what's the word I want to use here for manifold? The greatness of the gift of grace of Elohim, the manifold grace, the multitude of it. When he gives you grace, hold back. Ask and you shall receive. He doesn't hold back. So we are receivers of that grace, and we are receivers of the understanding. We are receivers of the gift of salvation. We are receivers of the Holy Spirit. We are receivers of sight and hearing, perception, because he doesn't give it to everyone. He doesn't open up the scriptures to everyone. It was not given to them. So when you understand, when you receive the gift, then we are to minister one to another out of that gift. And only those who it's given to can even receive it. So you can be in a congregation of thousands, and there may only be 50 who are actually understanding and true believers. 50! Out of thousands that truly understand and have the true gift. Everybody else is included in the masses. They're there. They're there for whatever they're receiving. But whatever they're receiving, Messiah said, you ain't here for the gospel. You're here for the miracles. You're here for the food. And he wasn't talking about the word. All y'all are showing up because I fed 5,000 of y'all yesterday. Y'all want another free meal. That was the math. They weren't there to actually hear the truth, to get the truth, to get understanding. And so he taught in a way that y'all hear and you hear, but you ain't understanding. You see what I just did. I fed 5,000 of you, you saw it, but you're still not perceiving what you saw. Wait a minute. The only one that can do this is the Most High, Elohim. And you must be Elohim. The scriptures tell us that our God was going to come to us in the body. That's what he told us in the scriptures. They did not perceive who it was. The teachers and the scribes. The scribes are the teachers, the Pharisees, the lawyers. The Sadducees, they were also lawyers. They just believed something different. Two groups that believed something different. They did not perceive who Messiah was. They heard, they saw, they listened, but they couldn't see and hear who he was. It wasn't given to them. And they were along with the masses. So if you have the gift, you ought to cherish it. If the Most High opens your eyes and allows you to hear the scriptures and the truth of the scriptures, the gospel, you ought to be thankful. You truly ought to be. Let's continue. We've got to read down through verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Elohim. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which Elohim gives. We all are given a different ability, even in the spirit. That Elohim in all things may be glorified through Yeshua HaMashiach, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when we get this understanding, when we get this gift, you know, a lot of people are teaching Messiah, and they're teaching things that are partially true. Partially true, because from a certain aspect in the scriptures, as I said, you can come to a certain understanding in the natural. But then on the spiritual side of it, and even on the natural side, the complete truth, they're not allowed to see. Not allowed to see. And so this is because of, really, we're going to see it's because of the type of belief, the type of faith that they have. A follower of Messiah lives and walks by faith every day. That's what we read last night, that we're supposed to walk by belief in what we believe, and we're supposed to act out of what we believe. And our faith goes a little bit further in that it speaks to that we believe some things that we can't actually see, as in we can't actually see the Most High in spirit. We can't see him. None of us probably have ever seen him. We still believe that he exists, and we believe because we've had other things to happen. That's what faith speaks toward, but it speaks toward also your belief and how you believe and why you believe, your level of faith. So we're supposed to walk by that faith every day. Shouldn't have, once you have been taught the law, nobody should have to continuously teach you the law. Nobody should have to continuously teach you right from wrong. As you learn it, it should be written in your heart and in your mind, and you should just act on it because you what? Believe it. You have faith in it. You establish it. That's what the scripture was telling us yesterday. That our faith does not nullify the law. It does not void the law. But our faith establishes the law. Because it's written in our heart and in our minds, and we just do it. That's what the scripture says. I understand what it says. I just do it. You ain't got to teach me that no more. I got it. But instead, we are having to be taught over and over and over again the law, because we don't believe we're supposed to keep it, or we have to keep it. So, are you walking by faith? Are you walking by truth and what you truly believe, and do you have the truth? Has the Most High opened your eyes? Has he given you understanding, and are you walking in that understanding? Because the true saint will have understanding of the scriptures and know that, hey, once I come to the Most High, that old me is dead. I can't walk the same way I used to walk. I killed that person. I don't steal no more. I don't lie no more. I don't cheat no more. I'm not covetous anymore. I don't worship other gods. Everything that the Most High says I either should do, I do, or what he says I shouldn't do, I don't do. That's the true saint. Whenever you learn it, you do it. You hold yourself accountable and you do it. You don't make excuses. You don't try to find ways out of not doing it. So let's look at some of these counterfeit forms of faith. Counterfeit. Let's talk about dead faith. Okay? Because we can believe something, but then we don't do nothing with it. James informs us that faith without works is dead. Let's go to James chapter 2. Belief without works is dead. Now, you don't want your belief, what you believe, in such as in keeping the law, that if you kept the law and you rejected Messiah, that you could be saved. You don't need him. Because that would be a lie. James. So not your work alone can save you, because you never address, if you believe that, then you never address your sin issue. I can just keep the law and I'm good. No, because you were born in sin. You were conceived in sin. You had a foolish thought at some time in your life, and it was sin. And so all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Most High. So can't just say just keeping the law would get you out of that category. Got to have Messiah. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, your belief without work, if it has not worked, it is dead. Being alone. If all you had is your belief, I believe Messiah came. I believe this, I believe that. But you don't do nothing the scripture says to do. You don't look after the fatherless, the widow, or the homeless. You don't look at, love your brother. You don't keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Then your belief is nothing. It's dead. Because you have to believe that first Elohim is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you got to believe that he sent Messiah, that Messiah came into the world. You got to believe it all. And so if we leave half of it undone, we leave half of it out, then we're trying to get by on half, trying to get by on our own work. No, you can't. Your faith, what you believe alone, is not good enough. You must be a doer of the word. That's why the Most High says, don't worship me with your lips only, but be a doer of my word. That would be your work. So this is what I believe. This is what I do. And I'm in Messiah. I believe that he came and did these things. And he died for my sins. So I can't boast that I keep the law and I don't break any of the laws, because I was born broken. Born broken. And we got to understand that and know that. So in other words, if your faith is real, you will produce fruit. That is, good works are evidence that your faith is genuine. I've observed that you don't have to motivate sincere saints to do what the Holy Spirit is already urging them to do. They'll just do it. If your faith is dead, it will be obvious by lack of good fruit and abundance of selfish thoughts, cruel words, and immoral deeds. It'll be evident that because you won't keep the law. Won't keep the law. You won't keep the statutes. You won't keep the commandments. That means that your faith is dead. What about demonic faith? So that's dead faith. That's dead belief. You say you believe, but nothing you say you believe do you do. What about demonic belief? That even demons believe and shudder at the name of Yeshua. Verse 19. Thou believest there is one Elohim. It's not enough just to believe there's one Elohim. You do well if you do. If you think there's two or three gods, you got a problem. Because everywhere in the scripture it teaches us there's only one. So you got to know that he's doing everything and it's not a family. Because see, people will try to justify that to keep more than one. They'll say, oh no, God is a family. We got Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and that's a family. No, it's not a family. It's one being doing everything. If you believe that and know that, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But they still disobey. They still do what they want to do. Their faith is intellectual. They choose, even though they know, they choose to do what they want to do. A demon has no doubt that Yeshua is the Son of the living Elohim. But they rebelliously choose to serve a different master. Yeah, we know you, God. But we're going to serve Satan. We're going to practice this voodoo and this witchcraft. We're going to come to war against your people. They know the truth. They choose to serve another master. And their master, Satan, is crystal clear on the fact that Yeshua died and rose from the dead. As a matter of fact, Satan's theology is probably better than yours or mine. Satan knows the truth. He knows the gospel because it defeated him. But knowing all the answers and possessing the right theology doesn't save you. It's what you do with the answers. Is what you do with the right theology. It's what you do with the word of the Most High. Doers. So the demons know. The devil knows. There are people that serve the devil. They know the truth. They choose to serve the devil. They choose to serve Satan. You got people out here that hear the gospel, hear the truth. They know what the scriptures say. They choose to serve Vishnu. They choose to serve Allah. They choose to serve whatever, anybody but the Most High Elohim. They make a choice to do that. So we got to understand that that's a type of demonic faith. Hear the truth and choose otherwise. What about vain faith, vain belief? So you got dead belief, you got demonic belief. What about vain belief? This is believing for nothing, because you're not going to do what it says. Your faith is, your belief is vain. Not everyone who says Yeshua is Lord or Master of their lives will enter into the kingdom of heaven on the day he returns. The scriptures tell us that many are going to say what? Did we not cure in your name? Did we not heal in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? Only those who actually do the will of Elohim will be permitted entry into his kingdom. Responding to an altar call, saying the sinner's prayer, or religiously or generously tithing. Because you can't buy your way into the kingdom either. These alone will not save you. Please don't be the person who completes all kinds of religious milestones and cries out on the final day, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, only to hear the words, I never knew you. Depart from me. That's vain faith. Because they're doing stuff only to check off something. Yeah, I do that. And I think that makes me righteous. But they really don't believe in who they're serving. They're not serving him out of love. They see what the scripture says. And they're trying to save themselves in a way that you can't save yourself. They're trying to do it and sidestep Messiah, like in the ones that believe that they can save themselves through work. There is another form of dead faith or vain faith. Go to Matthew chapter 7. The book of Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to get verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, or, if you put his name there, Yah, Yah, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Everybody that is calling Messiah Master, calling him Savior, is not doing his will. They're not keeping his commandments. Yeah, I love you, but I don't do what you say do. He said, then you don't love me. I'm using your name. Yeah, I'm curing. I'm healing the sick. I'm going to hospitals, and I'm feeding the poor, and I'm clothing the naked. I'm doing those things, but you're still not keeping my commandments. You're still fornicating, you're still stealing, you're still lying, you're still worshiping other gods and saying you fear me. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Thus saith Yah Elohim, the Lord said, and in thy name cast out devils. Because if you know the power of the name, and you know the power of the tongue, and you use his name, that demons know his name. They know who he is. And you got a certain type of power, and you are able to cast out devils, and you're able to prophesy in his name and do wonderful works. So you're using the name. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Think about that. You're prophesying in his name. You're casting out devils in his name. You're doing wonderful work in his name. But you're still lying and cheating and robbing, fornicating, committing adultery. Still not keeping his laws, his statutes, his laws, his commandments. But we're doing this stuff in your name while we still don't obey your voice. We want to, because you're really doing all that stuff to what? Appear big before men? Appear like, you know, the Most High hears you? But you're invoking a power that's invoked by his name. It's like your child who has your credit card, and they go and use your credit card without your permission. Just take your credit card and go to the store. All they got to do is know your PIN, and in some places, they don't even have to know your PIN. They just swipe it. You got the card. It's approved. You stick the card in the machine, put in the PIN number. It goes through. But you didn't authorize them to use it. The same thing here. They're doing wonderful work, but they ain't authorized to do it. He said, because I never knew you. Why are you using my name? Why are you using my authority? Why are you using my power? Why are you invoking it? You don't obey me. You don't do what I say do. But you know that you can invoke my power by my name, by my authority. So let's read this again, because we want to understand if we're in the church and we're doing these things, but we still know we got a sin problem. We still know that we are doing crazy stuff. We know we were out partying last night or partying tonight, and we're going to be in church tomorrow. We know that we were out partying last night. We were supposed to be keeping Sabbath. But we're going to keep Sabbath today. We were out bumping and grinding last night at the club. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, you that work lawlessness. I don't know you. That's vain faith. Doing stuff, but you ain't authorized to do it because you don't do what he says to do. But you wanna be like Simon the Sorcerer. Simon the Sorcerer wanted to buy the power to give somebody the Holy Spirit. He wanted to buy the power to heal somebody. Because he wanted to look big in front of people. He didn't want to lose the influence that he had over the people. Because he had bewitched the people prior to that. And Philip came and undid all that. And he wanted to buy it, but his heart wasn't right before the Most High. Let's look at saving type of belief. That belief that the true follower has. The follower of Messiah lives and walks by faith every day. Are there counterfeit forms of faith? A devotional for Bible study, a small group, a family devotion time. They're doing all these things. The message of John 3:16 is so clear. Elohim loves every one of us who love him. See, when we read that verse by itself, where Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So let's go get John 3:16. The book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you take that verse by itself, then you will believe that Elohim loves everyone. But Proverbs 1:19 told us, the Most High loves them that love him. In Exodus chapter 6. Yeah, Exodus chapter 5, verses 20 through, oh, I think it's Exodus 6. Hold on a second. Give me one moment here. Let me verify. I don't want to give a bad source out. Exodus chapter 20. I was wrong all the way around. Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. For Elohim so loved the world. He loved those in the world that love him and keep his commandments. He don't love everyone. So when people are reading John chapter 3, verse 16, on its own, the Most High would that everyone should come to him. But the ones that he loves are those that love him and keep his commandments. So when you are outside of that, what Messiah came and did for us was to get us to the position where we could come back and keep the Most High's commandments. We got a clean slate. He wiped away our sins. And we can keep his commandments and not transgress, not be in transgression. Because if we're in transgression, we're going to perish. So if we believe on him and what he actually did, then we're going to do what he said to do. We're going to keep his commandments. We're going to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments. We're going to love him. That we don't perish. That we don't die. And get thrown into the lake of fire. And it's through Yeshua that we come out of this condemnation. Verse 17, for Elohim sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. When we walked in sin, we were what? Condemned to death, to the lake of fire. But when we come into Messiah and we are, our sins are wiped away, then we gotta know that we have a clean slate. And walk no more in sin, or else we go back into what? Condemnation. The very thing that Messiah came to save us from, we go right back into it. But that the world through him might be saved. So Messiah didn't come to condemn the world. He came to get us out of condemnation. But if we go back into sin, if we turn around and don't keep the law, then we go back into condemnation. So the true believer understands that. The true believer knows that, hey, once I have been saved, I have a clean slate. I can't willfully go back into sin. If I sin by mistake, that's fine. All I got to do is the day I find out about it, confess it, and he is true and just to forgive me. But if I know it's wrong and I do it anyway, then I'm in trouble. The true believer will know that. The true believer will understand that. Messiah didn't come to get you out of trouble for you to go back in trouble. He didn't come to get you out of trouble for you to willfully, knowingly, get back in trouble. Then you chose that. You chose to be in condemnation, and that's exactly what you're going to receive. Condemnation. Because that's what you're choosing. Go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We're going to get two verses. 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You can't handle them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So let's look at the Spirit of truth. Who is that? John chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. It's like the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. The Comforter will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 15, verse 26. Because we're looking for the Spirit of truth. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, which is the Holy Ghost, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. The Comforter is the Spirit of truth. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. The Comforter is the Father. The Holy Ghost. He is the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father. He shall testify of me. So the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of truth, and we know that the Holy Ghost is the Father. The Father is going to give you his Spirit, and his Spirit is going to lead you and guide you into all truth. Everything that he wouldn't allow Messiah to say, that he caused Messiah to speak in parables, or to speak in Proverbs to the disciples and to the masses, when we receive, when we are chosen, then the Father reveals truth to us. He guides us into truth. He allows us to see those things that are in the parables. He allows us to see those things that were spoken to the disciples in Proverbs. He allows us to understand the explanation. Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5. The book of Acts chapter 1. Verses 2 through 5. I'm sorry. Until the day in which he, Messiah, was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, through the Comforter, through the Spirit of the Most High, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He had chosen, and he's still choosing today. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of Elohim. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, saith he, you have heard of me. From Torah, the Most High says, I shall pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That was the promise. And I shall give them a new covenant. And I will write my laws in their heart and in their mind. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, my Spirit, not many days from here, not many days hence. Messiah talks to us and teaches us and guides us by his Spirit. And we must receive his Spirit in order to even understand truth. We must be chosen by him, so that we can receive truth. So what is the truth? Go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. This is the gospel in the last days. Saying with a loud voice, number one, fear Elohim and give glory to him. This is the gospel for the last days, reminding men to fear the Most High and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. It's here. and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. That's who you're supposed to worship, not anybody else. So worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who caused the flood to come to bring up the fountains of the waters of the deep and flood the earth, the true and living God. Worship him. Fear him, for his judgment is come. It is here, and because we ain't dropping dead yet, we don't see masses of people dropping dead. We don't see the tribulation that he has spoken of yet. Doesn't mean that we're not in judgment. He's still saving some people. He's still calling some people into his ark. Come on in to the kingdom. Hear my voice and obey what I say to do. He's still doing that. But the time is winding down where he's going to stop that. So while you are able to come, if you have not come, come. Hear his voice and obey. Fear him and keep his commandments. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 16. The book of Acts, chapter 13 and verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, Men of Israel, and you that fear Elohim, you that fear the Most High, give me audience. Come and listen to me. Because if you don't fear him, you ain't going to do what he say to do. You're not going to take action because you don't believe him. You have your fame, your faith is either vain, it's demonic, or it's dead. If you don't fear him, your faith is not good. Your belief, what you believe, is not good if you don't fear him. Because if you fear him, you're going to have wisdom. You're going to have understanding. The Most High don't play. And he's going to do exactly what he say. And everything that he said that is going to happen is going to happen. And I believe that. That's your faith. That's your belief. That's your understanding. And you're going to act out of that. You're going to take action out of that. You're not just going to be saying it with your lips and not be doing something about it. You're not going to be trying to buy your way into the kingdom. But you're going to be doing those things that he said to do with fear and reverence for him. Truth. Psalms 111. Psalms 111 and 10. We hear this all the time. What I'm saying, you hear all the time. But as the saints of the Most High, you got to believe this and walk in it. If you've never heard it before, once you hear it, I pray the Most High gives you understanding. He's got to give understanding. He's got to give you sight. Fear Yah, the fear of Yah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding. Without this, you have no understanding. Have all they that do his commandments. Without the fear of him, you're not going to do his commandments. You're going to hear them, but you're not going to do them. You're not going to obey them. You're going to justify yourself. You're going to say, hey, I fear him, but I got this problem. I just can't seem to stop chasing skirts. I just can't seem to keep this bottle out of my mouth. I just can't seem to stop lying. I just can't seem to stop fornicating. I just can't seem to stop spilling. I got a problem. I'm working on it. If the fear of the Most High is not enough to make you stop any of that stuff, any sin, ain't nothing going to make you stop. Nothing. Going to make you stop. Because you don't fear the creator of heaven and earth. You don't fear the one that can separate your soul from your body. You don't fear the one that can kill something that's eternal, your spirit. See, man can kill your body. Man cannot kill your spirit. You can't even touch it. But you don't fear the one that is able to destroy you, who you really are. The being that uses that body, the Most High is able to destroy you, who is eternal. You don't fear him, you're not going to keep his commandments. And if you don't fear him, then it's just the bottom line. You're not going to keep and do what he says to do. Romans chapter 3, truth. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a payment through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of Elohim. If you don't believe the scriptures, if you don't believe truth, you will say that Messiah died for your future sins too. You will say that Messiah died for all my sins, past, present, and future, when the scriptures don't say that. But you need it to say that, because you know you ain't through sinning. You know that you didn't kill off that old man and that you kept some of that stuff. So you went down in the water and you came up out of the water wet. And when you dried off, you were still chasing women. You were still sleeping with people you weren't married to. You were still defiling your body. You still lying, still doing all this stuff. He didn't die for that. That stuff was supposed to stop when you went down in the water. So you came out of that water with a clean slate. And then you start adding back to your slate. Start adding back to the charges. Because you went down in that water not with a true fear of the Most High. Went down in that water thinking you had a sin ATM. I used the blood of Messiah, and all I got to do is say I'm sorry, and I can go sin again. That's not the truth. Can't go do that. So when you have a true fear of him, you understand, I got to stop, and I got to stop now, because I'm just putting charges back on my book that he may find me guilty of and not what? Forgive me. And if he finds me guilty of them, I have earned death. Numbers chapter 15, truth. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 28. The truth is, Elohim have always only forgiven what? Ignorant sin. When we know the truth, the Spirit will lead us into truth. When we have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit will lead us into truth and guide us into truth. He won't let us stay in error. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sins ignorantly, when he sins by ignorance before Yah, to make an atonement for him. And it shall be forgiven him. Verse 30. But the soul that does aught presumptuously, the soul that sins willfully, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, that same reproaches Yah. That same offends Yah. That soul shall be cut off from among his people. We know that that cut off means to be killed. Why? Because he has despised the word of Yah and has broken his commandments. That soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. His sin shall remain upon him. That's the truth. Change in the New Testament. Truth. Messiah said, when you come to me, I will forgive all your sins that were past. Now from that day, go and sin no more. Not go and try your best. Go and sin no more. He didn't tell the woman that they brought to him that was guilty of adultery. He didn't tell her, hey, they falsely accused you. Just go and do your best and stay out of trouble. He told her, go and sin no more. When we come to him and we confess our sins, he's telling us now, go and sin no more. I've wiped your slate clean. I've forgiven you. Don't go and willfully sin and get back into trouble. Don't do that. That's true. Not that you can say, oh, yeah, I knew it was wrong, Most High, and you're just going to have mercy on me. I'm going to show you some mercy. But see how that hot fire feels. What about that mercy? See, that's all the mercy I'm going to have. Because you're stiff-necked and you're hard-hearted. And your heart is not right before me. And you don't fear me. You thought I was playing. You didn't think I was serious about what I said. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 29. Didn't change. For if we willfully sin after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. If you willfully sin, if you presumptuously sin, the Most High said, your iniquity shall remain upon you. He didn't change in the New Testament. He says, hey, after you come to Messiah, if you willfully sin after you've come into the knowledge of the truth, your sin shall remain upon you. There is no more blood for that. They don't fall up under the blood of Messiah, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour my adversary. You my enemy. You say you love me, but you don't do what I say to do. You ain't my friend. You my enemy. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy up under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, shall you deserve, who has trodden underfoot the son of Elohim, and is accounted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit. He says, what do you think you deserve? You deserve a punishment worse. Truth. The blinders off of your eyes, you know you cannot be looking backwards. You cannot be making excuses. You cannot be walking in sin. You cannot be supporting those that you know are walking in sin. Willful sin. They know it's wrong, but they're doing it anyway. Truth. What kind of faith do you have? What kind of belief? What is your belief? What kind of belief do you have? Is your belief vain? Is it dead? Is it demonic? Or is it true? Is it good faith? Because the scripture speaks about all of it. That's why it says to examine yourself. Go back to John chapter 16. And we'll be through with this for today. John chapter 16, starting in verse 26. John chapter 16, starting in verse 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me. And he said, if you love me, you do what? You keep his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's because you have loved me. He's talking about you actually are obeying him. And have believed that I came out from Elohim. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo. Or in our term, our vernacular, yo. Now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from Elohim. And Yeshua answered them, do you now believe? Because I told you plainly, do you now believe? You have heard the word of the Most High on this morning. Plainly put to you that you need to fear the Most High. You need to keep his commandments, all of them. You need to be of good faith, not of vain, demonic, or dead faith, but good faith, keeping his commandments, doing what he said to do. Then you show that you believe. But many, I tell you, hear and cannot understand. We'll still struggle with this. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you on this morning, Father. Father, some of us, our faith, our belief, has been dead. Some of us, our faith and our belief has been in vain. Some of us, our faith and our belief has been demonic. Some of us, Father, have walked in true faith. Father, as the man that brought his son to Messiah, brought his son to the disciples, and his disciples, because of their unbelief, were not able to heal this man's child. He began to doubt. And his faith began to waver. Father, such are some of your children. They have prayed for things and they have not heard an answer. And they started to waver. They're not walking the way they ought to walk. And just as the man asked Most High, he said, I believed and I brought my son. But your disciples were not able to heal him. Help thou my unbelief, because now I doubt if you can heal him. Help thou my unbelief. Help me increase my faith. Help to put my faith and my belief on sure ground that I might keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, that I might fear you and have understanding. Help us this morning, O Father, that whosoever this message is for, that they would receive it, that they would walk in it, that they would believe. That now that they would believe your word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. On this evening, we should have a series we were supposed to be starting, or we started last week. We're continuing that series about those being poor among us. If there's anybody who feels like they need prayer, if you would like prayer at this moment, then I will pray for you individually. If not, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. If I cannot love you like the Most High loves you, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Believe that and understand. Fear the Most High and keep His commandments. Shalom, family, and have a blessed rest of your day.
Never.